This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 12th of August, 1960. The title of this lecture is Skill in Auditing. This lecture is 32 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
We have, this is what? This is the fifth day of the first St. Hill, 7th London. ACC. Now, I'm not going to tell you how many problems you face in auditing because I want you to stay with your hands on the controls. If I started running them all down, you would probably blow or something of the sort. Not blow the course, but sort of halfway blow the session as an auditor, you know. You say, well, nobody can be three one-man bands at the same time. Nevertheless, the ease of your auditing, the smoothness, simplicity, and skill of your handling of the pre-clear monitors directly the degree of concentration which your pre-clear can put upon his case. So a terminal which isn't biting hard can have another source of not bitingness than the right terminal, and that would be rough auditing. Where your auditing is slightly rough, you tend to keep the PC off the terminal, out of his bank, and his attention slightly on you. You see that? Now, the same terminal that is run roughly would produce, very likely, almost twice the effect if run smoothly. You see the difference. Therefore, it behooves you, as you go along as an auditor, to smooth it out. Get more and more skilled. Now, being skilled as an auditor does not comprise being interesting. It doesn't comprise being particularly penetrating right here at this stage. It merely comprises a thereness adequate to a control of the PC and a smoothness which doesn't pull the PC out of his concentration on what he's trying to do. In other words, you have to have a presence which gives the PC confidence. The PC feels that it's all right for him to dive down to the bottom of the lake and swim around because you're there on the air pumps. If he gets an idea that you're going to cease and desist on the air pumps at any given instant, if he gets the idea you're going to, just that, one of two things will immediately happen. He'll say, good Lord, here I am at the bottom of the lake, and nobody's on the air pumps. And the first immediate reaction, most ordinary to this sensation, is to have the bank tend to collapse on him. In other words, the masses get suddenly more threatening. What he is in appears to be far more dangerous. And his second action, immediately sequitur, is to leap into his concept of present time and defend himself against you in the environment. Therefore, it's a very, very nice adjudication that you as an auditor have to make. It's how do you deliver a sufficient sensation of there-ness to the PC which will give him confidence enough to go to the bottom of the lake. And yet not have such thereness as expressed in roughness and mistakeness and jog-jogness. So as to keep him leery of going to the bottom of the lake at all. You can just see some of these PCs paddling around carefully on the surface, you know, with an eye on the auditor. You're not going to go near those big terminals. Now, I am helping you overcome this by assessment close enough to bank center that is real at this stage to the PC, so as to make it almost impossible for him to dog paddle. He'll say, well, I'll keep my eye on this auditor, and I won't go near anything very hot, and I'll somehow or another get through here all right. Well, now I've booby-trapped him. I put a nice big gold treasure chest with glittering rubies and diamonds, surrounded it with bayonets in the form of his buttons. Now, he wants to clean that up and straighten that up. And help itself, of course, continues to clear the way as just a process line. And he will approach and will tackle it regardless. Therefore, you have a double responsibility. Because he's going, sooner or later, to dive anyway. Now, if you produce a sufficient flub, flounder, series of blunders, or roughnesses, so as to pull him back up to the surface without his having cleaned up anything around there, why, you've just made your work a lot harder for yourself, don't you see? It now gets a little rougher. It's going to put time on the amount of auditing necessary to produce a beneficial result on the case. It puts time on it all out of proportion to the amount of clean up the ARC break. See, that isn't the wasted time. He'd start running through this sudden change, jog, jar, shift, which he has received. He's got to run that out. And it will, if you notice this subjectively as a PC, this sort of thing does tend to run out on these processes. Nearly everything locks up on a help process. And if a person is running a center terminal, nearly everything will lock up on that terminal. This is very fascinating. Very fascinating. Here we are in the famous old monkey room, with these very interesting characters dressed up in human clothes and these paintings on the walls. Piece of Churchill's work. He was very fascinated with this. He didn't even think it was possible to do these things. But if you look this over, this is a fantastically long mural surrounding all these walls and so forth. And he had a good time doing it. Now, what's amazing is the tremendous differences of character and expression which he has managed to imbue each one of these monkeys with. Such things as the hunters coming home from the hunt over there behind the door. And the old folks are up on the balcony waiting for them to come in. And the gay insouciance of these hunters, you see, and their welcomingness and so forth. The flirtatiousness and downright libidinousness of some of these female monkeys around here is really amazing. Well, they're not too bad to have on a bank. But terminals that don't get cleaned up, prepare to be amused at some future auditing session to be be running somebody in this class and have some monkeys come off the bank. Well, they'll come off exactly at those points where the PC's havingness of the environment is suddenly changed or dropped, and he seizes upon the environment in some fashion, or tries to grab himself up to PT, and he'll grab himself in this particular ACC room. He'll grab himself a handful of monkeys, of course. Now, we've got things pretty well oriented on assessment. These assessments are not bad. But you have already begun your usual game of fooling the old man by throwing out a datum. The three-tone move of the tone arm in an hour of session you are busily violating as a class at large. You're lucky if you're doing two. Some of you are just doing one. Well, I've now looked over the terminals, and I'm very happy that they will run. Now, it's up to you. There are three, four more that we're going to get immediately after the lecture and straighten those up. But once that is done, the only thing that will keep somebody from running with a steep run with a wide swing of that tone arm is his non-confidence in the auditor. Now, that's something you've got to take care of. The more confidence he's got in the auditor, that the auditor will persist and take care of the situation, why, the steeper rises and falls you will get in the tone arm, the more action you will get on the case, actually, the more case you will get run. The more forward advance you're making. Now, all that the change in the tone arm means, all that it means, is the person's ability to confront is changing because it's being monitored by his attitudes toward, about, or in the terminal he's running. Responsibility is still a keynote. The theory of Scientology hasn't changed a bit. We've just made it more elementary in its approach, but these other things are still there. There's this thing of responsibility. Now, basically, responsibility is the thing which moves the tone arm. But this is esoteric, almost, compared to other data as it appears to you. Now, when I say, now look, if a roaring rhinoceros came in the room at this moment, a good auditor should be calm, and at such a moment you should be willing to find out some things from research, you know, break out an e-meter and put it in people's hands and find out how they react to it. Be a sensible course. You would find that all needles would start rising. And therefore, all tone arms start going up. Well, now, of course, there's the no-confront proposition. But it's obvious that if the rhinoceros caused the tone arm to rise, sometime or another, somebody amongst us, undoubtedly you, took no responsibility for animals in general and rhinoceri in particular. Otherwise, you wouldn't have any reaction to a rhinoceros. How do you like that? You must have taken responsibility at some time or another for anything to which you now react. And furthermore, must have abandoned responsibility for it. You can't get in trouble where you have not taken responsibility. and then abandoned it. You actually can't get in trouble continuing to be responsible for. But you can get in trouble ceasing to be responsible for. And then saying somebody else was responsible for it. You get what that cycle is. It's a very neat, bing-bang cycle. Now, the only thing which excuses your liability between responsibility and not responsibility is, was your responsibility fulfilled and successful? Only in that were your intentions measured up to. Well, your intentions are measured up to. You can dust your hands off and say that's that. There'll be no further liability of responsibility. It's only those where one quit. And said, well, I can't do anything about that. Rhinoceri are too much for me. I thought I'd make life more interesting on that planet by putting those rhinoceri on it. And I just thought that would be the best thing to do. And they don't like rhinoceri. And I didn't help anybody. So we'll just skip it. Not only will we just skip it, but we will fail to unmock the rhinoceri. The rhinoceri go around praying to God, namely you, to the person that created them or something of the sort, saying, please send us sweet dreams and lots of hay, or whatever rhinoceri would pray about. I saw that shocked you a little bit. My heavens, don't you people know what God is yet? Most people think of God, they are actually just thinking of their last extraterrestrial command post to which they are no longer connected by a communication channel. They're just still looking for the orders which ceased to come in a few millennia ago. They don't know any other way to connect up with the orders except telepathy. The word God itself is probably just abbreviated letters of some mechanical rig of a communication terminal. How do we know? You know, you call it TV. Well, there's something probably it was called a G-O-D. It's very funny when you come to look over it, because a horrible sort of a feeling of realization comes over you. Well, you're still looking for orders and decisions, future instructions, and the rest of it. I don't know, maybe the early Western Union or post office telegraph stations looked like Greek temples. Who knows? Maybe that was the symbol for a communication center that goes back to the Markab extraterrestrial command source or something. So, you know. But to fail to unmock the rhinoceri, to fail to knock out the consequences of the action, still leaves one guilty to some degree of an overt act if people didn't like the rhinoceri. So the responsibility was abandoned, not fulfilled. No cycle of responsibility was undertaken. The cycle was begun, but wasn't ended. Well, the odd part of it is the cycle of responsibility does not end of itself. And you're basically, in running any terminal, ending cycles of responsibility. Well, why did one suddenly shy off and cease to be responsible for a terminal? Well, this is very, very simple. He had all kinds of reasons why. He couldn't have it, confront it, control it, help it, so forth. But it's basically confront. The mechanics of it are confront. You run confront, alternate confront, general. What could you confront? What would you rather not confront? And a case would go all the way. If you didn't mind spending 1,200 hours clearing somebody, it would go all the way just on general confront. Undoubtedly. Because it is the pin. Most people getting audited are trying to be put in condition so they won't have to confront anything. or they won't have to confront something. This fellow who is having trouble with father is being audited so that he will not have to confront father. Now, naturally, your process is on the line. Get him up to confronting father, and when he can confront father, he has no further difficulty with father, because he's what? He is willing to take responsibility for father again. He doesn't have to finish his responsibility cycle of action right now on the subject of father. But he feels he could do it. And feeling that he could do it returns to him the ability to do it. He doesn't have to do it, but he can do it. And you've changed his whole frame of mind on the subject. Now, if confront is that important, which it is, then I assure you that the more non-confront you, the auditor, run on a PC, the more unwillingness to confront you foster in the PC, the less terminal you're going to get run. It's just as simple and as stupidly elementary as that. The more the PC feels he can confront things, in general, about the session, the better session is going to occur, because the session itself is improving his confrontingness, and he is running on a terminal which he had difficulty confronting, and therefore improving that difficulty of confronting improves his confrontingness. The session itself improves his confrontingness, don't you see? And if it's all an improvement of confrontingness, all the way up the line, voila, there's nothing to it. It becomes amongst the easiest and the simplest thing that you ever heard of doing. Now, wherever you have a rough session, you actually have the PC's ability to confront being cut down. So the process could build him up, even if run on a proper terminal, no faster than the session cut him down. The session could cut him down as fast as the process was bringing him up. And you could hold a parity there, which would go on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours, don't you see? Now, don't despair. If you get any change of the tone arm at all, no matter how fractional, you are still improving the preclear's ability to confront, because you're running him through areas that he can't confront and areas which he can confront. Areas that he can't, areas that he can. When he runs through an area where he feels he can't confront the terminal, you get, of course, a rise of the tone arm. Basically, the tone arm rises because of responsibility, ability to take responsibility for, don't you see? But this is best expressed mechanically for your purposes as confront. You have to be able to confront something in order to take responsibility for it. So let's look at it, that slightly lower echelon. So when the tone arm goes up for your purposes, we can say the PC is through this area running through material that he is less willing to confront. And when it comes down, he has suddenly recovered his ability to confront it, or he has suddenly slipped into an area that he is willing to confront. One or the other. Usually both. It's an interesting thing to run somebody through an engram, and those parts of the engram where it is absolutely impossible for him to look at anything he feels or thinks, see that you get a rising tone arm. He's running away. And in those areas, such as the end of it when it's all over anyway, and there's nothing to confront anyhow because it's all ruddy well blown up and so forth, you're liable to get some kind of a down slant on the tone arm. Then you start him through to the beginning of the thing, and on up it goes. rises to that area where it's the most difficult to confront, and then falls on down from that. Now, gradually, as you run through it and through it and through it, the needle will cease to rise and the tone arm cease to rise simply because the PC going through it finds it easier and easier to confront. And we confront the whole thing he feels. In his estimation only, these things take place. When he feels he can confront the whole thing, he is, of course, running a totally and completely flat incident. Now, that's actually all there is. But a person who is being a mouse finds it very hard to confront a cat, because the apparent truth of the situation to him is overwhelming. He'll get et. Yes, he could confront the cat, but the consequences of confronting the cat, of course, are mixed up with the responsibilities he can take for a cat, which, is, of course, would include the responsibility of the cat eating a mouse, and he's the mouse. And he gets onto this cyclic spin of, yes, I can confront a cat, I can take responsibility for a cat, yes, and he'll go on and talk about cats for a very long time. Nothing much seems to happen, however, because basically his valence that you're trying to run out was that of a mouse. And from the total viewpoint of a mouse, a cat has a consequence, which is the loss of one mouse body right now. Now, he can go into apathy about it and say, well, all right, I can be responsible for everything about a cat. And all of a sudden, you see a total rise of the needle, and you say, what? You see the needle start to fly up, and you see that tone arm start coming up, up, up. Yeah, he could be totally responsible for a cat. Now, why? To be totally responsible for a cat, he had to be totally irresponsible for a mouse. And you are now registering the mouse. So you see the complexity of the swing. It all has to do with valences and their adjudication of what the valence could confront. As long as a person is in any kind of a valence, he will have difficulty confronting. That's for sure. Some difficulty in confronting will occur by reason of being in a valence. This doesn't mean, however, that you can't clear up valences. They keep springing up and cleaning up, and his ability to confront in general improves, and he eventually gets up to the 64-pound cognition, which is, aha! Even as a mouse, I could probably stand in front of a cat and say, Svengali. And the funny part of it is he probably could. The cat would probably take one look at him and go, yeep. I saw a little kitten one time back up an enormous Alsatian I had. I don't know what the kitten had been run on. But the kitten sure had been run on something, because the Alsatian came up all roar and snarl and fury, you know, and the kitten stood up, didn't get angry, simply turned around and looked him in the eye. And he skidded to a halt. You could hear his pads scream against the ground. And he looked at the kitten, and he backed up and walked around the kitten, and the kitten just looked at him. The kitten wasn't looking kittenishly at him. Strictly Svengali. And that Alsatian backed off, loved cats, loved to eat them, dined on them frequently. But that kitten could come and go, sit on his bed, eat up all of his food. He never became a friend of the kittens. But that perimeter he would not invade. The kitten was being totally responsible for Alsatians. Now, I don't know what the kitten might have done about chow dogs, but that kitten certainly had Alsatians taped. So these cognitions come up, and the general ability to confront improves. Now, one of the reasons a preclear goes into a bank in the first place is because he is taking so much responsibility for the environment as he is walking around in it that he doesn't get down to taking responsibility for anything else. He has to be permitted to be irresponsible for the environment in order to be responsible for his bank, and where you as an auditor do not maintain a confident, reassuring presence with regard to the preclear, he has to continue to take responsibility for the environment and so cannot contact or run the terminal he should be running. So take responsibility for the environment, take responsibility for the PC, get enough presence up there to give the PC enough confidence to go to the bottom of the lake, and you got it made, and the faster those tone arms move, the better in session you're putting the PC. So take that as your criterion now. Thank you.